I would like to thank obviously the organizers and the Fields Institute. I'm very, very happy to be here and to have the opportunity of say something. And in this talk I will show you how rank invariance and multidimensional matching distance, that is the distance to compare this rank invariance, can be used for shape comparison. And I decided to, at the end, since it was not scheduled, to include part of the work done with Silvia Biasotti and Daniela Giorgi. These girls are two colleagues from Genova, since I would like to show you some experimental results. And let me also add that part of this work has been developed during my staying at PRIP, that is the Pattern Recognition and Image Processing Group at the Vienna University of Technology. It is led by Professor Kropasch, but currently I left Vienna for coming back to Bologna. And let me give you an overview of our goal. Our main goal is the following. Suppose to have a database of objects, and we want to define a similarity or a dissimilarity measure between the shapes of the objects in this database. And in order to do this, we think that shapes should be compared with respect to some relevant properties. And deciding if a property is relevant or not can change, this decision could change application by application. It should be completely left to the decision of the user. And in this perspective, we are led to model a shape of an object like a pair X phi, where X is a topological space representing somehow the object that we are studying, and phi is a function from X to RK. It's continuous in general, and actually we will see that it is a filtering function, but we also call it a measuring function, since the idea is that it measures, it gives a description of these properties that we consider relevant for comparing shapes. And once we have modeled shapes in such a way by pairs, the idea is to compare the shapes of objects by using persistence, since persistence allows us to use the persistent Betti numbers, and in particular in the one-dimensional case, persistent diagrams, in order to have a shape descriptors. And at the end of the day, it is more convenient in general comparing shape descriptors that the objects at the beginning of the process. And when we consider filtering functions that are real valued, so when we are in the one-dimensional case, let me say, of persistence, everything is very, very nice. Actually, I don't want to go into much details, since in the past days we had very nice presentations of persistent Betti numbers and persistent diagrams. Just let me emphasize two or three things that I think are very useful when we try to compare shapes. First of all, persistent Betti numbers and then also persistent diagrams share their invariance properties with the associated filtering functions. So for example, take this this example. You have a mesh, is a shark, it is filtered by 8 functions, so blue values correspond to blue colors correspond to low values of the function and red colors to high values. On the right you can see the associated persistent diagram for connected components. And since we are considering the 8th function, it is obvious that this function will be invariant with respect to horizontal deformation of the shark. We can also shift the shark left and right, but we are sure that the associated persistent diagram won't change in any case. And this is true also in higher homology degree. Then we can also change, persistent diagrams are modular in the sense that in order to obtain different information, we have simply to change the considered filtering function. And in our approach to shape comparison, this can be seen as looking at the shape of objects under different point of view. And last but not least, obviously, the stability of persistent diagrams. And this result has been proved in different places by different people under different assumptions, but the core of the stability is always the same. If we perturb a bit the considered filtering functions, we have only small changes in the associated persistent diagrams with respect to the bottleneck distance. And, let me from now on omit this symbol, meaning this means that the theorem holds in any homology degree. And this is important in application since it implies resistance to noise, and so we can do effective calculation. The reason for moving from the one-dimensional situation to the multidimensional one, I mean filtering functions taking values in RK, is basically twofold. First, it is obvious that the shape will be better characterized if we consider more than one of its properties. And so it is convenient to consider more filtering functions at once. Moreover, maybe we could be interested in considering properties of shapes that are intrinsically multidimensional. Think, for example, two straightforward examples, the coordinate of a point in the space, in the three-dimensional space, or the representation of color in the RGB model, that are examples of three-dimensional measuring function. And that's why we would like to use multidimensional persistence. But we have a first negative result concerning k-dimensional persistent Betti numbers. It has been introduced by Carlson and Zomorodian in 2007, and basically we don't have an analogous of persistent diagrams in the multidimensional situation. When I say an analogous, I mean a descriptor that captures the information of persistent Betti numbers in a way that is both complete and discrete. We cannot have this. For example, if k is equal to 2, I think we should have something like patches of surfaces in R4. And the main drawbacks are that we cannot visualize these objects, it's hard to compute them, we have problem of this kind. But on the other hand, we can prove that these rank invariants are in any case stable with respect to a suitable distance that we call the k-dimensional matching distance. So let me give you an intuition, a rough intuition of how we can come to this matching distance. And so suppose that you have a filtering function, I missed the symbol, in RK. And in this case, we know that the domain of a rank invariant lives in RK times RK. Let me give you an example for k equal to 2. So in order to take all the points of the domain of a rank invariant, of a two-dimensional rank invariant, we can do this. We can pick a point U in R2, and then we can pair this U with another point V in such a way that V is strictly greater than U component-wise. And so we have to take V in that area. And let me also add that given to such two points in this position in R2, we can obviously define in a unique way a line passing through these two points. And we can do this for each point in the domain of a two-dimensional rank invariant. For example, also in this case, we can define this this line. So the idea is for all the lines, let me add also this, that obviously for a given line in R2, we can also in RK in general, we can identify the line by taking a direction and a point in RK. And in the case k equal to 2, we need only two parameters, in this case A and B, for example, to univocally define a line. And the idea, given all this family of lines, is to filter our topological space according to this line. Intuitively, we can filter the dog by splitting the line gamma AB, and during this filtration that I would like to emphasize, it is one-dimensional, the point of the space enter in the filtration according to a one-dimensional filtering function phi. This phi depends on A and B and on the original bidimensional filtering function. And, I didn't put the formula for computing this phi AB, but we can do this explicitly. If we know phi, the starting phi A and B, we have a formula to compute that. And under these assumptions, we can prove this reduction theorem, basically saying that the infinite collection of the persistent diagrams that we can associate to this filtration completely determine the rank invariant. So knowing the rank invariant in each point of the domain equals to knowing all these persistent diagrams. And at this point, the idea is to compare two different bidimensional rank invariant by comparing the persistent diagrams associated to each line and this line by line. And at the end of this process, we will have an infinite set of bottleneck distances, line by line, and we can define our distance like the supremum. over these bottleneck distances. And one property is that the bottleneck distances between the persistent diagrams associated to each direction is stable with respect to small changes in the choice of these lines. And again, we can prove an analogous of the stability theorem in one-dimensional case, like Claudia told us in the previous talk. Basically, it is the same. So if we perturb a bit the considered multidimensional filtering function, we have small changes in the ranking invariance with respect to this multidimensional matching distance. So far, we have a distance that, in principle, can be used to compare rank invariant in a stable way. The problem, is that, as you can see, this multidimensional matching distance depends on a supremum. So we should consider an infinite collection of distances. And in application, we cannot do this. So the idea is to approximate this matching distance by replacing the supremum with a maximum. So the idea is to consider just a finite collection of these bottleneck distances. And we will have a pseudo distance. We don't have any more a distance, but still, we can try to apply it for a concrete shape comparison. And the problem is how can we choose this finite subset of lines? In principle, we could go randomly, but we in that case we wouldn't know how good is our approximation. So the idea is to propose an algorithm to try to improve this approximation. So as input for this algorithm, we have a real parameter representing somehow the maximum tolerance we are disposed to accept in the computation. As an output, we have the approximation of the multidimensional matching distance up to the chosen real parameter. And let me try to give you an intuition of how it works, at least for the case k equal to 2, since I can draw this. So we have two filtering functions, phi and psi from x to r2, take c as the maximum of the absolute values for all the components, both of phi and psi. And let me recall, as I told you before, that in the two-dimensional case, we can associate to each line a couple of parameters, let's say a and b, and a must be ranged between 0 and 1, since this depends on the fact that the direction, the unit vector associated to the direction of this line must stay in the first quadrant of R2. And we can associate to each direction a point AB in this stripe. I flipped the reference frame just to fit it in the picture. And so finding this maximum over a subset of our lines can recast in the problem of finding the maximum of the bottleneck distances associated to point in this stripe. And so a first result allows us in this searching for a maximum value to get rid of a large part of this stripe. Actually, we can prove that if the parameter b is less than or equal to minus c, or if it is greater than c, then the maximum of the bottleneck distances associated to the points in these two regions is necessarily the greatest value between the bottleneck distance associated to the first component of the filtering function and the bottleneck distance associated to the second component of the filtering function. So we don't have to do computation in that dark pink region. We have still to study what happens in this big open rectangle. To work in that open rectangle, we can apply a classical branch and bound algorithm that is controlled by this proposition, and basically it works this way. We can take the open rectangle, split it in four small open rectangles, take the centers of these rectangles, and select, I did this with blue, select the point such that the associated bottleneck distance is the greatest value among that four. And then we can control the splitting procedure using this proposition that basically allows us to control the variation of the bottleneck distances inside each open rectangle. So, for example, if I take the bottleneck distances associated to this point and the one associated to this point, and the difference is, large enough, I am pretty sure that in this open rectangle I cannot exceed the maximum value I found in this point. So basically I can get rid of the rectangle. If I'm lucky, there will be a lot of rectangles subject to this rule, and so I can go on and then go on, and every time finding a maximum value. Obviously this procedure can go on forever. I need to stop it at a certain point. And to do this, I can use my input real parameter epsilon. Actually, I can define the threshold that depends on the size of the rectangles. It happens that along the iterations, this size becomes smaller and smaller, so my threshold will become smaller and smaller. And as soon as my threshold is less than my input real parameter, I stop. I quit. I take the maximum value which I found, and that will be the approximation of my matching distance. So now we have a way to compute approximation of the multidimensional matching distance, and we can try to apply it for some experiment. And to do this, we consider two-dimensional zeroth rank invariant. In the case of connected components, rank invariant is also known as a size function. And two-dimensional is referred to the filtering functions, so taking values in R2. Zeroth means that we are considering connected components. And we choose a database. This database is publicly available. It is used in the Norwegian World Benchmark. And it consists of a set of triangular meshes representing animals. So we have the class of cats, the class of dogs, the class of gorillas, and so on. Each class is built in this way. They take a null model, and they apply some non-rigid deformation to the model, and the class is given by the original model together with its deformation, for a total of 148 models. So in the first row, you can see some instances taken from the same class, just to have an idea, and here you can find other samples from the database. Okay, so by definition of this database, it is really suited for training methods to non-rigid shape similarity. And to do this, we can exploit the property that is the invariance on break invariance, meaning we can choose two filtering functions that are invariant with respect to non-rigid deformation of objects. And basically, we choose as a first component the Heath-Kellner signature, and as a second component the integral geodesic distance. And I don't want to go into details in describing these functions, but it is sufficient to know that both the functions are invariant with respect to non-rigid deformation, since basically they preserve the metric defined over an object. Plus, the first one is also robust to topological perturbation of the model under study. I mean, both are invariant with respect to deformation like this, but as soon as I do this, the second crashes, the first one is still robust. The value changes not much. And the experiment worked as follows. We took all the database, we computed all the possible distances, and then we try to measure how our metric is able to distinguish between the different classes. So we want to judge how our method is able to say that a cat is actually a cat and not a dog and not a gorilla and so on. And this is a way to measure the goodness of a retrieval method. It is called precision recall graph, and basically gives a measure of this ability of a given method. And let me say that these curves are called precision recall curves. The higher they are, the best is the performance of the associated method. Typically, a human shouldn't miss a recognition, and it would have a constant line equal to 1. So the red curve corresponds to rank invariance, while the other two corresponds to other retrieval methods that are well-established method in the state of the art. The black one is the Liefeld method, the green one is the spherical harmonic method. And as you can see, in this case, we let the algorithm run for iteration, and as you can see, at least in this example, we are competitive, at least with other couple of methods in the state of the art. A second experiment has been done with respect to not complete, a different database, but this database goes in the opposite direction of the previous one. Basically, we said, okay, the other database is suited for non-readership similarity, but it's my right, it's our right to say that this Victoria 0 is the same, is similar at least to this one. It's my right. And I mean, it's my right to distinguish, it's my right to say, to study the similarity of shapes up to the formation that doesn't preserve the intrinsic metric of shapes. And for this reason, we took the null model in the previous database, we applied six non-rigid, six deformation at the three different strength level, and you can have an idea of what we did looking at this example. And okay, so we took a null model, the 18 deformation, we put everything together, and we obtained a new database of 228 models. And as for the two-dimensional filtering functions, now we can exploit the modularity of rank invariant. I mean, this is a different problem, we need a different filtering functions. And to build our two-dimensional filtering function, we took each model, we computed the center of mass, and we computed also this vector, W. It is called the principal vector, and basically it is a generalization of the center of mass in the sense that it is invariant with respect to rigid movement of the model. And then we took the line parallel to W passing through the center of mass, and the plane orthogonal to this line passing through the center of mass. Our measuring functions are defined as the distance of a point from the line and from the plane. And these functions are invariant with respect to rigid movement of shapes, by definition, plus we can obtain an invariance with respect to scale if we normalize the model. Okay, at this point we replied our experiment, and okay, this is another precision recall graph. I mean, the red curves represent the behavior of rank invariance at different level of approximation, a different level of precision. And you can see that increasing the precision in the approximation of the matching distance, we increase our performances, and even at a rough approximation of the matching distance, we are competitive with existing methods. And yeah, that's all I wanted to show you. Let me resume a while. I showed you that rank invariant and multidimensional matching distance can be used for shape comparison, and we have to do, in my opinion, quite a lot of work. Basically, the problem is if we can improve this algorithm. I mean, it's a branch and bound algorithm, and if we want a good approximation of the matching distance, we have to pay a lot in terms of running time. So we are thinking how to improve our algorithm, and for this moment, we detected a couple of directions. The first one is trying to study how the bottleneck distances, the persistent diagrams associated to this line varies when the line changes. Actually, we don't know anything about this. I mean, this problem can be recast in studying the function taking each bottleneck distance associated to a line to the real values. We only know that this function is continuous, but we don't know if it is basically it shouldn't be C1 or differentiable or stuff like this. And this is a possibility. Another is to find trying to find lower bounds for the bottleneck distances. Actually, we realized that even in using one-dimensional persistence, if we want to define a metric over a database with a big number of elements, we have to wait a lot. I mean, we have to wait for a long time due to the computation of the matching distance. And the idea is that in most cases inside the database, maybe it is not necessary to compute the exact value of the bottleneck distance. And actually, the observation that we started to think about comes from the real world. If, for example, we have to distinguish between an elephant and a mouse, probably we need just a look at the two animals. We don't have to be so precise in order to distinguish between them. And translating this in terms of bottleneck distances and persistent diagrams, probably it is sufficient to have a rough approximation of our bottleneck distance. The point is that this approximation that can be a lower bound, allowing us to say the bottleneck distance between these two shapes is greater than 10, should be faster to compute that the actual bottleneck distance, and would allow us to preserve time, let me say. On the other end, there would be other cases in which a more precise computation are needed, and possibly the actual computation of the bottleneck distance. We are interested in finding lower bounds that are faster to compute, since in the multidimensional case we have basically to compute a lot of bottleneck distances. And so if we are able to gain some time in the one-dimensional case, this will be projected in the multidimensional case. And that's all. And so thank you for your attention.